Thank you very much, Brian. Good afternoon, all. It's really good to see you all here this afternoon. It's good to be here. Enjoy the crisp winter weather today. As most of you know, whenever it's time for me to speak, I'm a bundle of nerves. And I did have some people come to kind of help me out today before I got up here. Somebody asked me, how long are you going to preach today? And I said, oh, about 10 to 12 minutes. And they said, well, make it 15. I want to take a nap. I thought that was pretty good. That kind of helped kind of calm the nerves a little bit. Well, I'm going to start my sermonette today with a quote from the diary of Anne Frank. And most of us know who Anne Frank is, and we've had a chance to learn about her doing school. And the quote reads as follows. It says, how true Daddy's words were when he said, all children must look after their own upbringing. And I want to stop there just for a second. And that almost sounds like an oxymoron, that children have to be responsible for their own upbringing. For we know without guidance and love and understanding, children won't turn out so well. If anybody's ever read the book, The Lord of the Flies, or seen the movie, we know that children without any type of guidance will just run amok and often wind up getting themselves into a world of trouble. But the purpose of my sermonette today is to encourage each of us to take personal responsibility for our own spiritual growth. And I'd like to do that by looking at one of Jesus' parables. If you would, start turning to Luke chapter 13, and we'll start reading in verse 6, and we'll read through verse 9. Look at Luke chapter 13, verse 6 through 9, and looking at taking personal responsibility for our own spiritual growth. And the parable reads as follows. It says, he, speaking of Jesus, also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard and came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered, meaning the keeper of the vineyard answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. After that, you can cut it down. This parable shows two things in support of my purpose today. And so I'll use those two things as 2 points. Point number one, God is the ultimate parent and has done his part. God is the ultimate parent and has done his part. Point number two, we must do our part. We must do our part. The title of today's sermonette, for those of you who like titles, is Out of the Book and Into the Heart. Out of the Book and Into the Heart. So let's jump right in and look at point number one. God is the ultimate parent and has done his part. And the thing I like to do here with this point is paint a portrait of God that is well-deserved as the ultimate parent. For any of us who have children, there's 4 things we always want to make sure that we give our children. Love, instruction, protection, and patience. Love, instruction, protection, and patience. And since God is the ultimate parent, he has given us these 4 things flawlessly. So let's look at them and break them down as we take a look at the parable. Let's look first at how God has given us love. God has given us love, and if we look here at Luke, again, chapter 13 and verse number 6, and I will read again, it says, a certain man had a fig tree and planted it in his vineyard. And I'll stop there just for 1 second and show how being planted in God's vineyard is the way that he has loved each and every one of us in this room. I looked up in one of the commentaries and it showed that normally fig trees are not planted in vineyards. It's usually a place that is reserved for grapes. In the HarperCollins Bible Dictionary, it says that a vineyard is a standard sign of agricultural wealth in biblical times, and it's a sign of divine blessing. And the reason why a vineyard is a sign of divine blessing, because usually In order to get grapes to grow, you have to have them in a place to where the soil is really rich and really good. So God taking us out of this world and moving us into his church is like him taking us and putting us in his vineyard. It's a special place, a place where we can thrive and where we can grow, which is God's way of showing us love. The second thing that God does as the ultimate parent, he gives us instruction. He gives us instruction. If we turn over to Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 2, we'll look and see how God has given us instruction. As we know, he has taught us how to worship him in spirit and in truth. And one of the first things that he teaches us when we come into his church is which days are holy and which ones are not. We are all here at this point in time today because we know that the seventh day Sabbath is God's holy day. So how does that relate to instruction, and how has God taught us how to worship him in spirit and truth? We look at Isaiah, the 5th chapter, verse number 2. It says, and speaking of his vineyard, he dug it up and cleared out its stones. Before we got to God's church, it was already a place where we could thrive because there was nothing left here for us to stumble. He removed it. He removed every stone out of his vineyard. That way we knew exactly which day was the Christian Sabbath. We know that at this point in time, this time of the year is a very festive time of the year for people in mainstream Christianity, but not so for us. Our festive time was about 2 months ago when we celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles, and here in another 4 months, we will also be celebrating again our spring holy days. So he has dug up his vineyard and cleared out the stones and left nothing there for us to stumble so that we are actually able to worship him in spirit and in truth. Excuse me for just 1 second. So we see that God is the ultimate parent, has given us love and instruction. He's also given us protection. If we look down a little bit more here in Isaiah, the 5th chapter, and the 2nd verse, it says, he dug up and cleared out its stones and planted in it a choice vine. He also built a tower in its midst. A tower in its midst means that God's vineyard is a place of protection. In doing the research for this sermonette, I found out that a tower in the midst of a vineyard was almost mandatory for any vineyard. It was a place where the husbandman and his family usually dwelt the entire time of the harvest of the grapes. And as us as people, as fig trees in God's vineyard, we can rest assured that he is always with us. As we are planted in his vineyard, he is always with us to make sure that we have the protection that we need. We know that he gives his angels charge over us. And if we look down just a little bit further in verse number five, we know that God also put a hedge around his vineyard. That hedge and that tower count as safety for us as Christians as we are in God's church or in God's vineyard. In the olden days, the tower was a place where the vine dresser could actually climb and watch out over the vineyard. If he needed to know where his children were, he'd climb up in the tower and he could see them. He could see far enough to know that if there was a wild animal coming over the fence to start to take the grapes or the other fruit that was in the vineyard, he could see that. He could also see if there were any type of thieves that were coming in from the tower as well. So we know that God is the ultimate parent, has provided love, instruction, and protection. And then finally, God as a loving parent has also provided us and gives us patience as we grow as fig trees in his vineyard. You turn back to Luke chapter 13 and verse 7. And I think this is the most important part of this parable because it shows, again, how loving God is. Because as it says in verse number 7, it says, then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this tree and find none. So we see here that God has been patient with all of us. Commentaries say that the 3 years in this passage of scripture could mean one of two things. One thing it could mean is that this 3 years could be speaking in reference to Jesus' earthly ministry, public ministry here on this earth. Another commentary said that it could be speaking of the 3 times that God sent his messengers to ancient Israel. It says here from Matthew Henry's commentary, it could be the space of time before the captivity, another after that, and another in the preaching of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ himself. But whatever it is, we know that God is patient with his people. Another way we can figure that out is if we just go down to verse number 8. We know this is where our elder brother Jesus Christ intercedes for us when he says, "But he answered and said to him, Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and until I fertilize it." When we look at dig and fertilize, this is where I'd like to kind of stop and take a little time to amplify what God is trying to teach us here. Digging and fertilizing, digging around this tree means that the husbandman or the vine dresser is striking at the sinful nature of the tree. He's aerating around that tree because over time, as trees sit and they're barren and they don't produce, the ground under it becomes hard and fallow. So Jesus Christ, the elder brother, is the vine dresser who is breaking up that fallow ground. Fertilize means that after he's broken up that fertile ground, he starts to apply his spirit to it. Now, can't you just see the vine dresser almost on his hands and knees applying his spirit to that fallow and hard ground to give us every single solitary opportunity that we have to produce fruit? And I can almost see him standing back after he's done with dirt under his nails and mud all over his hands, and he looks at the tree and he says, "Come on, you got to give me something. I've asked for one more year." And he stands there, looks at it, wipes the sweat from his brow. You've got to produce. So as I recap, God is the ultimate parent because he has done his part and he has given us love. He's given us instruction. He's given us protection and he's given us patience, which is why God is almost laments in Isaiah, the 5th chapter, 3-4. And you don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you myself. He almost laments and he's almost exasperated when he says, "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge please between me and my vineyard." He stands here and he's saying to us as God's people, look at what I've done. I've upheld my end of the bargain. Now it's your turn. What more could I have done to my vineyard that I have not done in it already? Translation, I've loved this tree. I've instructed this tree. I've protected it and I've been patient with it. And because of this, the fact that we must take personal responsibility for our own spiritual growth is a glaring responsibility. It's a very glaring fact, which brings us to point number 2. We must do our part. We must do our part, for God has done all he is going to do. How do we do that? We need to get the word out of the book and into our hearts. And what I'd like to do now is if you turn with me to Deuteronomy 11, look at verse number 18. Deuteronomy 11, verse number 18. How do we get the word out of the book and into our hearts? And Deuteronomy 11, verse 18 reads as follows. "There you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." Now, in this day and time, we're not going to walk around with frontlets on our eyes like the Jews in the days of old did, but I'd like to introduce a very simple concept that will help us make God's word foremost in our thoughts and in our deeds. And it's a simple exercise, one that I actually tested myself over time. If there's something that you're struggling with, we can always take our cue from Jesus, because we know as he was driven into the desert after he had been baptized, that every time he was tempted by the devil, he used his own words against the devil to drive him away. And we can do the same thing for ourselves as well. There was a time when I really, really, really struggled with anger, and it was something that, you know, was really, really tough for me to have to deal with. But one of the things that I did that was suggested to me by one of my mentors was I took a 3x5 note card, and in the right hand corner I wrote anger in the right hand corner. And then I went and I found a verse of scripture that I could apply to anger every single solitary time I felt it, because it was getting me in trouble. And it was Proverbs 16:32. And it reads, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his own spirit than one who takes a city. Now, as you can see, this card is quite flimsy. It's creased. It's because I wrote this passage of scripture over 10 years ago. And one of the things that ten years is a long time. But as we know, God is patient. So we have to be patient with ourselves. And I can tell you, and my wife will vouch for this, and we talked about this once before. 10 years ago when I wrote this, I was really, really struggling with my temper and my anger, but not anymore. Because I would keep this card in my coat pocket when I went to work or in my shirt pocket. And every time I felt myself getting angry, I'd pull out the card and I'd read it. And I'd say, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than one who takes a city. Proverbs 16 and 32. It was a simple way to get the word out of the book and into the heart. So with that being said, I'd like to go back and read Anne Frank's quote now in its entirety. And it reads thus: how true Daddy's words were when he said, all children must look after their own upbringing. Parents can only give good advice or put them on the right path. But the final forming of a person's character lies in their own hands. Anne Frank, God has done all that he is going to do for us as Christians. It is time for us to take personal responsibility for our own spiritual growth and get the word out of the book and into our hearts.